This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. The new season at Chattanooga Theater Center begins later this week with a romantic comedy by Neil Simon, a production sidelined when the pandemic hit in March of last year. Barefoot in the Park, about a young newlywed couple in New York City in the 1960s, premieres Friday and runs through Sunday, October 10th. Aaron Skelly Holderman plays Corey, and Scott Dunlap is the director. Aaron, Scott, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
At last, Barefoot in the Park here at CTC. This was sidelined, to say the least, because of the pandemic.
Yes, a year and a half in the making. It finally is happening.
Yes, it's very exciting. Like, coming back to this show after being gone for so long, we were really worried. We were like, are we going to remember how to do this show? Like, what's happening? And we got it back up on its feet. And within the first couple of days, it's like, oh, this feels so great. It's so good to be doing this again.
And you were a newcomer to CTC.
I was. This was my very first production. I hadn't done theater for a long time. I'd gone to UTC and done theater, but I hadn't done it, been an actor since then. And I was like, I love this show. I think it's so funny and sweet. And I was like, I really want to audition for this show. And I auditioned, and Scott chose me, which is amazing. And we rehearsed it, and then it dropped, and I was like, well, okay, I guess I'll just wait a little bit longer.
Well, you have had time to think about whenever you circle around to staging it, after all, how you're going to play it. And I'm curious, because this is a Neil Simon work. This is an early hit of his, set in 1963 in New York City. How do you approach a role like this? You're playing Corey, which I remember from the movie was played by Jane Fonda.
Yes, iconic Jane Fonda. She's amazing. When you come to a role like this that's been done so many times by so many amazing actors, it's just one of those things where I'm going to be who I think that it is. And while I don't know what it's like to live in the 1960s or live in New York, I do have the experience of being a young married person trying to make it and live. When my husband and I first got married, we were in our early 20s and we lived in a tiny little rundown apartment kind of thing. So it's drawing from my own experiences of what married life is like.
And then Scott, what is it like to stage this iconic work? There was a revival on Broadway in The Past Generation, but still.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. It's one of my favorite shows. I remember it growing up, seeing the film. There was actually even a recording way back in the days, early days of HBO, there was a live recording with John Boy playing Paul.
This would be Richard Thomas, who played John Boy on The Waltons.
Yes.
Who then went on to successful career on stage and playing this role.
Yeah. So I remember seeing that as a kid, and it was one of actually my first experiences of seeing live theater, even though it wasn't live. It was like, oh, this is different than a movie. This works differently. And so it's always been a favorite of mine. We had no idea that we would be where we are now. It seemed like a quaint little piece. You know, you have people who are just getting to know each other, even though they just got married. They're inhabiting the same space for the first time and learning each other's quirks. That seemed very quaint in February of 2020. And now, after we have isolated and quarantined and been in the same space with people who we do know really well, but have not spent that much time together, it kind of rings true a little bit. I told the cast the other day, so this is the love story of an introvert and an extrovert. And regardless of whether you've been together for 30 years or for 3 weeks, this is about that struggle and figuring out how you're going to work together. And I said, invariably, the introverts and extroverts are attracted to each other for whatever reason. And it always seems to be that opposites attract. And that is a tell as old as time. It's been interesting seeing it through fresh eyes from when we first started to picking it back up and saying, this actually kind of has a truthfulness to it I wasn't aware of.
And that should be considered the mark of a great work with longevity, that it can be performed again and again by different generations, for different generations, and whatever the current generation is experiencing in real time, they can take something away from that great work that is meant to be timeless in a way, even if it is set in a particular place and time, New York City in the 1960s with a fifth floor walk-up.
Right. Relevance is a vital part of theater. It's what keeps it going and why we do explore these roles and these stories over and over again.
And then as far as how this is being staged given the protocols that CTC is following at this time. Tell us more about that.
So all of our actors are vaccinated. We will not have masks on stage. We are performing in the Circle, which is our smaller space. The stage is in the same room as the audience. We don't have the proscenium to divide you. We're all in it together. So for that reason, we are also asking that the audience is vaccinated. This is the first time we've done that, but because of the Delta variant, because of the closeness of the space, we felt like that was important. And to protect our volunteer actors and protect our audience members, we are also masking during the show. The audience will wear masks as well.
There's putting on a show, and then there's always the show behind the show, which you are both and the others are all very involved in at this point. And I was just thinking back to what you were saying earlier, how appropriate this work is for the audience members who are getting reacquainted with one another. You all are on that journey yourselves behind the scenes in putting on this show.
Absolutely. I will say it's interesting. You know, people think that theater folks are all extroverts, and there are some who are a little extra extroverts. But
we know who we're talking about. We know who we've all worked with.
Oh, and they know who they are too. and they know what they did. But I gathered a bunch of introverts together. And so it was interesting. The first go around, everybody was sort of, you know, to themselves. But this time, surprisingly, even the introverts have kind of come out of their shell. It has been a really pleasant experience getting to be around other people who share your same love.
It was really interesting being a newcomer to the theater. It's always scary stepping into a new place, just like, how do these people act? How are they going to respond to how I am and things like that? So I know my first go around, I was very concerned about making sure that I was more controlled or things like that. And I did kind of keep to myself more. But after coming back to it and realizing that we've all been through this together and that we do get to come back and do it again, I want that opportunity to connect and be with people and really get to know my castmates and be friends with them and learn all I can about them.
And for people who want to connect, who want to come out and see the show, where can they go online? Where can they call?
You can find us at theatercenter.com, or you can call our box office at 423-267-8534.
All right, Scott, Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Throughout this month, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Chattanooga is holding what it calls Signing Day, encouraging people to sign up and mentor a kid. Shaughnessy Cargyle is with Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Shaughnessy, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Tell us more about Big Brothers Big Sisters here in the Chattanooga area.
Here in the Chattanooga area, we're part of the international organization that's been around in the States for over 100 years and in Chattanooga for almost 50 years now, a little less than 50 years. And it's a mentoring opportunity. So the typical thing is to match people up in one-on-one mentoring relationships, adults with children ages 6 to 14. Sometimes we'll have people outside of just doing it one-on-one. They'll do it as a couple and they'll mentor a child, or they'll do it as a family and mentor a child. But the whole goal is to provide mentoring outside of the traditional family landscape for a child.
And how did you become involved with them?
For the last, I guess now it's been a little over 20 years, I've been able to be involved with Big Brothers Big Sisters three different times as a mentor. And so I had a little brother in 1999 when I was in college, had one about 11 years ago before I had to move to Pennsylvania for a job. And so our match ended. And then recently, I started working for Big Brothers Big Sisters and got matched up again with my little brother, Devin, mostly just because of having a interest in working with youth for a long time, teacher, youth pastor, those kind of roles. And during kind of the height of the pandemic, when my previous job had been altered and I wasn't working much with it and needed to kind of transition probably, there was an opportunity. And so this is an organization that I've been involved with for a while, off and on, and feel passionate about. And it worked out to where they had a position I could fulfill.
What have been the challenges in your role and for Big Brothers Big Sisters during this past year plus of the pandemic?
I think that's part of what we've seen is that, like anything and everything, things kind of get shut down, things slow up, people get a little more cautious for good reason. And so some of those mentors who might have been really gung-ho right before everything shut down, that stalled their process. Or unfortunately, we had some people get matched with a child. They had started the relationship. They were hanging out twice a month. They were going and doing things. And then the match started to deteriorate because now they're just trying to Zoom or they're just doing phone calls and then they don't see each other. And then maybe somebody got sick and then that mentoring relationship kind of falls off for a variety of reasons, or some people, you know, their health becomes an issue. So that was definitely a challenge. Then as things were starting to get, you know, improving, we had really an influx of people say, yes, I want to mentor. I've been holding off. I want to do this. And then as things started to kind of shift and turn again with health, then we've had a lot of kids on our waiting list for 2 years now, 2.5 years, the last year straight, you know, depending on kind of when they joined in. So a lot of kids just waiting and needing a little extra support. And it's not just a COVID thing that's derailed that. Some people get really excited, and then once they see all the steps in the process, it can end up being a little bit cumbersome because there's background checks, there's safety things, there's Department of Motor Vehicles and fingerprinting and online training. We want people to feel as prepared as possible, and we want parents to know that your child's going to be safe when they're hanging out with this mentor. So some of that can kind of delay things.
And despite all this, that contact is so important with everything that we have heard about social isolation during this pandemic and concerns about mental health during this pandemic.
Oh man, huge. So you already have children who may be at risk. And I think maybe that title at risk kind of gets blown into huge proportions. Some people think, well, at risk means they're on the verge of joining a gang or drugs are running rampant in their household. And that's not necessarily what we're talking about. At risk could just mean single parent home, one income earner, multiple children, lack of good resources for education nearby them. So there's a number of things that can make someone in that at-risk category. So you already have some challenges. Then you add on to it more isolation, less opportunities to get out of the home, everything that kind of comes with some of those mental health concerns. And if you've got somebody outside the family intentionally taking an interest in you and reaching out, what a huge support. Even if you had both parents at home and you're living in a gated community and everything's safe and wonderful, when you have someone outside the family say, you're worth it, and I want to spend time with you. That's just such an incredible thing to have happen to a child.
And this month, you have something going on at Big Brothers Big Sisters.
We've called it Signing Day, and so it kind of plays off of a college football type vibe of people getting, you know, signed up, signing their letter of intent. We want volunteers to sign their letter of intent. We want them to sign up to mentor the children that are not just the ones that are on our waiting list, some of them have been waiting for a while, but the ones who we want to sign up. The more mentors we have, then the more progressive we can be in going out, especially with populations that may not be as active in seeking out a mentor. So we think of children who might relate better into the world of disability. Their parents may not be signing them up because they're not sure if there's going to be a mentor that's going to be there for them. So if we already have a stockpile of mentors, then we can go to more organizations. And we do this already, but we can be more intentional, more proactive. We can be more intentional with LGBTQ populations to say, look, we do have mentors that can work with your children, and they want to do this. And so we can be more and more proactive to go find the kids as opposed to just waiting for them to come to us if we know we have the mentors. If you have a short supply of mentors and a lot of kids on the waiting list, you go find more kids, they sit on the waiting list. You go find more kids. And that starts to build up expectation and disappointment when they're just waiting, waiting, waiting. And so those mentors are so crucial. That's how our organization runs off these volunteers that dedicate probably less time than people might think. It's about twice a month for one of our main programs. That's what I do. I go pick up my little brother every other Wednesday usually. We come to the YMCA just right down the street from here, play basketball, go out to eat. So you have that time together. You have the time in the car driving to and from the house. If he wants to talk, we talk. If you want to listen to music, we just listen to music. Whatever it is, it's okay. But it takes enough time to know that this is important, but it doesn't take so much time that I feel burdened or weighed down by it. And so I think probably more people could do it if they had a better understanding of what the expectation is.
And if people want more information, if people are interested in reaching out and participating, where can they go online? Where can they call?
Definitely through social media, you can find us, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Chattanooga. And then you could also do that BBBS, Big Brother, Big Sister, BBBS chat, chatt.org would be the website. The application process can all be done on the website, fill it out digitally. Then we contact you. And then there's some next steps. There's training and background checks and things like that. Or if you have children that you know could benefit from a mentor, don't want to discourage people from doing that as well. We need both. And we really, really need the mentors, males, females, couples, same sex, different gender. We need all kinds of people to be involved in the lives of children.
All right. Shaughnessy, thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
For IT professionals in the Chattanooga area, the Scenic City Summit offers them the chance to connect and develop their skills. This year's summit, all virtual, is on Friday, and participants can join for the entire day or for the sessions that interest them. Brandon Schwartz is founder of the Scenic City Summit, presented by the Chattanooga Technology Council, or CHATEC.
Brandon, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Tell us more about the summit.
So Scenic City Summit is a community technical conference that started in 2016, in person, of course, back then. We were at UTC at the engineering building on the campus for our first year, and then we moved to Chattanooga Convention Center every year until 2020, when we went virtual. And we're doing that again this year and expanding a little bit, adding more of a platform to encourage some hallway interactions and a little bit more networking opportunities for the attendees apart from the regular sessions.
And what are some of the themes that this year's summit will focus on?
So we typically try to include a range of topics that reflect the technology that we're using both in Chattanooga and in the region. So we're having some cybersecurity talks, a lot of cloud and DevOps topics, some front-end and back-end development talks, and some presentations on things like agile methodologies, project management, and other what people call soft skills, what I prefer to call professional skills around tech and development.
And of course, the pandemic has disrupted how we think of all these things.
Yes, the number of things that in years past we'd talked about as being impractical or impossible that we've suddenly been able to do with a lot of brains working on the same problem and trying to figure out how everyone does things remotely. It's been kind of a quantum leap forward and a quantum shift to the side for a lot of those areas.
And then tell us more about the participants at the summit from across the tech space here in Chattanooga, the Tennessee Valley, and since this is virtual, beyond our area.
Our speakers this year include one I know from Scotland and one from Central Europe. Going virtual has sort of lost some of the face-to-face aspect of what we typically really enjoy about these sorts of community events, but it has opened things up because we haven't had to worry as much about timing around travel or anything like that. We opened us up to have speakers from the East Coast, the West Coast, and overseas, which has been great.
And what have you been hearing from people in the tech space, in the startup space, in the entrepreneurial space here in the Chattanooga area?
One obvious aspect that's not just impacting tech, but is impacting all of us, is the question of whether we're going to have people co-located as we're going through the pandemic and after, or if we're going to continue to be fairly flexible or location agnostic in terms of our work. That has been a very good thing in some cases, particularly here in Chattanooga. A lot of us have gig fiber connections at home. So in terms of being able to do our work quickly and without some of the interruptions that you'd see in an office setting and having kind of all the tools that we need right in front of us, that's been very good. It's also, for particularly tech startups and larger organizations, has opened up the playing field just the same way that we're able to get speakers from across the country and across the world without having to work out those travel logistics. A lot of organizations are looking more toward remote first teams or being able to work with people who aren't necessarily right here in the region. And so that's changed the game a little bit for the kind of talent that we're able to look at across the tech space.
And for people who want more information about the summit, where can they go online?
For more information, people can go to scenicitysummit.com, all one word, just like those words are spelled, or go to chatechcouncil.org, which is the website for the Chattanooga Technology Council, CHATEC, who's partnered with us since the conference started in 2016.
All right, Brandon, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Ishmael Reed, born here in Chattanooga, is one of the voices in the new Ken Burns documentary on boxer Muhammad Ali, now airing on PBS. Reed, a literary icon whose works range from poetry and prose to plays and novels, is author of the book, The Complete Muhammad Ali.
He slowed down and got hit a lot. I include the measurements of, his being attacked, total punches landed, and compared them to his boxing career before and after the 3 years. And so he took a lot of punishment. And I think what happened was he stayed in the ring too long. Manuel Stewart, the great trainer, late Manuel Stewart, whom we interviewed in Las Vegas, said that he should have quit after the fight with George Foreman in Zaire.
Why do you think he stayed in the ring too long? What do you think drove him to stay in the ring as long as he did?
Well, I think he had to take care of this entourage. He's picking up these people's bills. He's very generous. I don't know about his philanthropy in terms of institutions or you know, charities, but I know that he gave a lot of money to individuals. And one of the people I interviewed in Louisville, Kentucky, said that he's very generous to him. He would give him thousands of dollars just on a whim. So I think he had this huge entourage, and he had to pay child support and just had a lot of bills and was in debt. But I think 30 people traveled with him to Manila, Thriller in Manila, when he fought Joe Frazier. So he picked up all their bills. And as a matter of fact, after he took, he fought his last two fights while experiencing brain damage, according to his trainer. As a matter of fact, I took a photo of him down in Louisville. He fought the fight with Burbick and the last fight with Larry Holmes, where he took a real beating while undergoing or experiencing brain damage.
Watch the rest of the Muhammad Ali documentary tonight and tomorrow night, starting at 8 p.m. on WTCI PBS, our public media partner here in the Chattanooga area. And on Thursday, listen to our conversation with Ishmael Reed here on Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots from the Isis Music Hall in Asheville on July 28th. This is Dirty Logic, an 11-piece band featuring some of Asheville's best musicians, according to their bio, paying tribute to Steely Dan.
Oh, y'all have heard this one before? We heard you're leaving, that's okay. Just begun. I guess you kind of scared yourself. You turned and run. But if you have a change of heart, Ricky, don't lose that number. You don't want to call nobody else. Send it off and number. You don't want
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Ricky, don't lose that.
Ricky, don't lose that number.
Thank you. Aww. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Whoever said thank you.
This That's makes
cool.
me happy.
Yeah, I'm happy too.
Seeing you all makes me really happy too. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all. Real quick, while it got quiet, real quick and ominous, let's give a big thanks and shout out to Jeff Thompson over here on these lead vocals, y'all.
Woo! Thank you. And a big shout out to the Isis. We love this place. We love this song.
Up on the hill, people never stare. They just don't.
Roll out the hardware. Let's do it right.
Patrick Armitage on the drums back there. You guys, thank you so much for coming out tonight. We've really enjoyed playing for you. Hopefully we can do it again sometime. I'm going to play one more tune for you guys.
Yeah, sorry.
Close enough for jazz.
Are you reeling in the east? Still in the way of the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? you guys so much.
Guess we'll play Freebird.
Thank you. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you guys so
thank
much
you.
For coming out tonight.
Thank you guys
thank
for
you so
us.
Much.
And a huge thank you to the staff and yeah. to everybody working. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
You guys, please tip well. If you didn't already.
All right, one more.
Yes.
Ready? Yeah. Ready.
See if we know this one.
Get it locked in Charlemagne. Get it locked in Charlemagne.
Dirty Logic from the Isis Music Hall in Asheville. The full show with video is on the Isis Theatre Facebook page. This is Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.